Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we went away from the book of James a little bit in our studies, and we looked at some of the attributes of God. We spent quite a bit of time in the book of Galatians. And something that we need to understand is that salvation, and the scripture says it, salvation is of the Lord. And anything that man devises, or anything that we think naturally, it comes from a fallen mind. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So it is impossible for us to think in spiritual terms until God, in His infinite mercy and grace, saves us by His soul. So He saves our soul by His grace. That's what I'm trying to say. And once that happens, He makes the Spirit of God enter into us, or the Spirit of God does. Actually, the entire Godhead enters us, because Jesus said, the Spirit who was with you in the Old Testament will then be in you and will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. And then with the Spirit of God indwell in us, now we have the capacity. We didn't have it before. But as believers in Jesus Christ, indwelled by the Spirit of God, indwelled by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have the capacity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So much of what is preached in the world is pretty evident when you think about it, just by the size of churches. Now, I'm not saying that every big church is involved in the lie of the devil, but too often they are. And sometimes it's kind of like the church at Ephesus that Paul spoke of, or not Paul, but John wrote about it in the, that they lost their first love. Now, when we think about our first love, I'm not talking about my sweetheart, Joanne Rose, who became my wife. My first love, is God. He saved me by His grace, even though I met Joanne first. but not in God's mind. In God's mind, God is eternal, and He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? I can't answer that question. The answer to the question is that God is an infinite, merciful, gracious, and loving God. And He chose us in Christ. And it wasn't because of anything that we could do or might do for Him. Otherwise, there would be something of which we could boast. And we can't boast. So I took us away from this book of James and took us back to the book of Galatians so that we could emphasize some things that Paul said there and also over in the book of Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans for just a moment. Fourth chapter. In this fourth chapter of Romans, we have a statement about Abraham. And Abraham is called the father of the faithful in Scripture. Abraham himself was saved by grace. Adam was saved by grace. Every Old Testament saint was saved by grace. Every New Testament saint was saved by grace. Now, did they operate under different dispensations? Yes. Or a dispensation is a period of time. And so we had 2,500 years of time when the only law that could be broken was the law not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And nobody could break that but Adam and Eve, because everybody else, Adam was thrown out, Eve was thrown out, and cherubim were set there to prevent anyone from entering in and doing what? Eating of the tree of life. Think of what an infinite tragedy would it would be if you could have eternal life in this body racked by sin and not be able to die. Now, most people think of death as a terrible thing, but it's not. Death is a release. We release our soul and our spirit from this body, which has a nature to sin. You know, what's your nature is what you do by, like there used to be a song when I was a kid, written back in the 40s, if I remember correctly, doing what comes naturally. You know, I like songs back then. You could know the words and everything, all that kind of stuff. Had a big concert at Austin Stadium last night. It was country western, so you could probably understand the words. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we knew the words to the song. And I guess kids know the words of these rap songs, and they shouldn't, because some of it's pretty filthy. But songs were melodies, and you'd sing them and enjoy them. And when we would ride in the car, you know, Dad would be driving, and Mom in the front seat of the old Model A, and the three of us kids in the back, and we'd sing songs. And then every now and then, because there was a period of time when Dad got upset with the church that he was going to. They wanted to get rid of the pastor, and it was pretty nasty. And so my dad made a decision. You know, I can understand why he did it, but what he did just put him in the place of not being able to grow in the things of the Lord. And he said, if I've got to go to church and fight, I'm not going to go at all. You know, seems perfectly logical, doesn't it? But the problem is, in those days, it was possible to find other churches that preached the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Very difficult to find today. And God began to speak to our family right away. And when I was 4 years old, I had an appendectomy. When I was 4 years old, I broke my collarbone. I had so many childhood diseases, everything at least two or three times. You know, it was incredible. What I see of it now is that God was saying, Willard and Hazel, get your butts back in church. But they never did it. And then when I was 19, I enlisted in the U.S. Air Force during the Korean War. Went away, and during that period of time, my mom had two automobile accidents just a year apart. And neither one was her fault. Both of them, the car was totaled, you know. But she wasn't, you know, she had bruises and that sort of thing, but she wasn't seriously physically hurt. And after the second time, my dad said to my mom, you know, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to say something to us. We ought to get back in church. He never made it. Because within a month of making that statement, he was dead. You know? And I believe he went home to be with the Lord. I believe all the problems that they had, which were manifested mostly in me, were to try to get their attention. You know? And it's a sad thing when God has to try to get our attention. When really, of all the places that you would like to be, and please don't take this as me making a big deal about it. I know a bunch of you went to the concert last night. It's fine. It's not my cup of tea. but there's not one thing wrong with that. It's great. Okay? But it's not something that I would enjoy doing. The one thing that I enjoy doing more than anything else is what I'm doing right now, preaching the Word of God. It gives me more pleasure than more pleasure than anything else that I can do. You know? And the Lord's been gracious to me, given me a good memory over the years, given me the conviction to study the Word of God, to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And in this age, and I'm not boasting, I don't take it that way, in this age, it's a rarity. Churches want to be big. Churches want to, you know, feel like they're accomplishing something. And when we look out and see, you know, a handful for Sunday school, a few more now for church. There was a time when we used to fill this building up, and I thought that we would have to kick a wall out and add on. But it never, ever happened. We've been up and down, up and down, up and down. And when you think about it, what we hear here is more important than anything else that we hear anywhere. You know, we have the opportunity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when we go to the Bible, and if we go with the natural mind, we're going to try to find something good about Abraham. We're going to try to find something good about Noah. We're going to try to find something good about each of the patriarchs, each of the prophets. And you know what? You're not going to find anything good about any of them, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Salvation is not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saved us. God is immutable. He's never changed. But you say, well, God gave the nation of Israel the law. Why? Well, in our studies in James, we've seen why. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And it says, wherefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Where? In God's sight. Now, this little book of James, and this is the reason I took you away, so that we could spend some time on fundamentals. This book of James is used for the most part by most churches under the canopy of Christianity, because if you don't understand who it was written to, you could get the idea that you have to, after you're saved, you have to keep the law. You could get the idea that after you're saved, that you're an example to people, so that they would look at you with your faith and want to be like you. Quite frankly, I've never met anybody that wanted to be like me. You know, not even me. Because I know my faults. You know? And you know your faults. And I'm ashamed of my faults. And you ought to be ashamed of your faults. But God in His infinite mercy and grace has said, you don't have any faults. When I look at you, I see my Son. You know, that's pretty amazing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. See? So in this book of Romans, speaking about Abraham, and it tells us in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, Abraham actually lived 400 years before the law. You know, depending upon where you want to count from. In some places it says 430 years. Other places it says 400 years. They both agree. One is from the weaning of Isaac, I think. I can't remember. I haven't studied it for a while. And the other is from when Abraham left her of the Chaldees. Okay. So so one's 400 years, the other's 430 years. But the fact of the matter is, the scripture says very clearly, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how much flesh will be justified in God's sight? You tell me. No flesh. So when these preachers tell you, oh, you must show people by your good life, what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. And then people look at you and see, well, he's got the same kind of troubles that I've got. What in the world are they talking about? You know, I'd rather drink beer, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah, that's just the way we are. And the fact that God saved any of us, and he saved a lot of us, is told us in the scriptures, for by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is means you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. If we got what we deserve, we would all go to hell. But people jump over to the book of James. And James was not written to Christians, and it says so in the first verse. You know, James, to whom the 12 tribes scattered abroad. But people do not study. Preachers do not study. And because they do not study, we have this concept that people can look at our lives and by our lives want to be like us. And it's foolishness. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Let's come back to Abraham. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So why was Abraham counted righteous? Because God saw him in Christ. Yeah. Well, you say Christ didn't die until centuries later. That's true. But God's omniscient. Yeah. So God saw all of us before the foundation of the world, and all of us he chose. That includes Abraham, that includes Adam, that includes Isaac, it includes Jacob, it includes Jeremiah, David, all of the prophets, all of the redeemed of the Old Testament, and all of the redeemed of the New Testament. He did what? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so when the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then it tells us where the faith came from. And that, the faith, is not of yourselves. That, the faith, is a gift of God. So God gave us the faith to believe. So we're in that equation. Is anything that we can boast about? We simply can't do it. You know, we simply can't do it. So let's look at Abraham's relationship. You know, Abraham, when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, his old man took over, his father. You know, now I would never call my dad the old man, but growing up, lots of kids referred to their father as the old man, you know. And there was no disrespect in that. And in the New Testament, over in the book of Colossians, I believe it is, it says of the old man is the flesh, you know. And the flesh in us has to die, you know. So, because the old man thinks according to what Adam received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? It's morality. What are the religions of the world based upon? Morality. That's why you go to college, you take a class in comparative religions, and they say all religions, each one in its own way is trying to go to heaven. And that's true. They are. But they're not going to make it. unless they believe that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day, you know, according to the Scriptures. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, Jesus was either the most colossal fraud and liar the world has ever known, or those words are true. And those words indeed are true. Okay. So, continuing with Abraham, for if they which are of the law be heirs, see, the Jews thought they were going to get to heaven by the works that they performed, and they couldn't perform the law, so they came up with a whole bunch of tradition to make them think they were keeping the law. Yeah. That's the way man thinks. You know? But the law condemns us. And when the Jews heard the law spoken orally from Mount Sinai, it scared the living crap out of them. You know? Don't like to use that kind of language, but there's really not a whole lot wrong with crap. Crap can be anything. It doesn't have to be feces, you know. Stuff that we throw away is called crap, right? But it's trying to get into heaven by, you know, we can never do anything perfect. Is there any of you that think that you're perfect? Well, if you do, and this is a correct terminology, you're a damn fool. Because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the word damn means judged. And if you think you can get into heaven by the life that you live, you are a damned fool. No, that would be a correct English way of saying it. Let's continue on. Because the law worketh wrath. When the law says to love your neighbor as yourself, because that doesn't mean to go over when your neighbor's husband's gone and have, you know, make physical love to his wife. Yeah. There's a lot of that goes on in this world. That's why there's so many divorces in this world. Yeah. But that's not what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So it says, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. So for 2,500 years, there was no law except one, and nobody could break it. Adam and Eve broke it because they were in the Garden of Eden. But everybody else was prevented from entering the Garden of Eden, and there was no other law. Did they commit adultery? Yeah. Did they swear? Yeah. Did they steal? Yeah. Did they lie? Yeah. They did all those things, but God didn't charge them with any of it. Why? Because where there's no law, there's no transgression. But then Moses came along and God gave him the law. And the Jews thought it was a way to get to heaven. And when they heard it, they said, don't let God speak to us anymore. scared the living daylights out of them. And when after they said that, then Moses showed them, what to do when you fail before the law. If you make an altar of earth, that's okay. There's lots of dirt in this world, But if you make it of stone, don't make it of hewn stone. Because the moment you put your tool on it, you've messed it up. Any human effort in coming to a relationship with God is rejected of God. The only way we can come to God is when He draws us. And how does He draw us? by His Word. We preach the Word of God. And the Word of God says, hey, you sinners.
Me too.
Christ died for you. He fulfilled the law for you. He fulfilled all righteousness for you. You know, He made it possible for you, if you'll believe me, He made it possible for you to go to heaven. You know, and so it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. So that's what the next verse says. Therefore, it's of faith. You know, that it might be by what? Grace. What is grace? Charis. Unmerited favor. If you put anything in there that you have to do, and boy, believe me, when I was in Bible college, you can't go to the movies, you can't go swimming. You know what they call going swimming? Mixed bathing. Sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. But they weren't talking about going to the beach and going swimming. But when they go to camp, the boys couldn't go to the lake when the girls went to the lake. And the girls couldn't go to the lake when the boys went to the lake. But all of the unsaved boys and girls were already at the lake. Does that make any sense? You know? Makes no sense at all. You know? You can go down there and go swimming with a bunch of unsaved people, but you can't go swimming with a saved person. I mean, honestly, that's what they taught. They taught it in all three Bible schools that I went to. You know, they were all caught up in, you know, you've got to be so good that when people look at you, they want to be like you. I never met a damn fool that wanted to be like me. I mean, it's the truth. You know? A man wants to get his hands in there so he can brag about something so badly. I'm going to get you back to James, honestly, I promise. As is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who makes the dead alive, that's what quickens means, and called those things which be not as though they were. You're a sinner, but I call you a saint. You know, think about that. He did the same thing with Abraham. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. Adam or Noah wasn't a perfect man. Adam certainly wasn't a perfect man. He was until he sinned. He was created in the image of God. But we were procreated in the image of Adam. And that was after he sinned. And everybody thinks, you know, because of the law, you know, that must be, we must have gotten our moral nature from God, because we were created in the image of God. No, we got our nature that tells us that we can be like God by the life that we live. We got that from the devil. He's the great deceiver. It didn't take too much to deceive people into making them think they're good. You know, because nobody wants to really admit, you know, they're ashamed to admit what they really are. I'm ashamed to admit what I really am. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So, as it is written, I made thee, in verse 17, a father of many nations before him whom we believe, even God who makes the dead alive and calls those things which be not as though they were. You're a sinner, but I'm going to call you a saint. And then it speaks of the birth of Isaac, who against hope, Abraham was too old to bear a child. You know, he couldn't impregnate Sarah. They couldn't even have sexual relations one with another because he was impotent at his old age. But God said, next year at this time, Sarah's going to have a son. And what did Sarah do? She laughed. And what did Abraham do at different time? He laughed. You know, if somebody said to me that next year you're going to have a son, I'd laugh too. You know, I'm 87 years old. You know, I've had heart disease for 37 years. And the medication for heart disease, if you're not impotent before, you will be after. You know. So, for me to say that I can father a child, that's a laughable thought, you know. You know, I keep hoping. me and my silly sense of humor. So, and being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body what? Now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How are you saved? The same way Abraham was. We staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now we'll go back to James. He used this book to try to teach Christians how to live. And that's why we went away from it for a while, and I emphasized all of the verses of Scripture that show that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good. Now, I'm going to just read through a few verses. Notice what it says. James, a servant, and that really carries the idea, a bondman. You know, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. James was, Paul was, Peter was, everybody that's ever preached the gospel, everybody that's ever saved. Yeah, we want to make reparation for slavery? I'm glad I'm a slave. My slavery promises me eternal life. You know? It's nice to run here and to run there and to do this and to do that. You know? But my master said, Dale, preach. See? So that's what I do. You know. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom? Read it with me. The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. I didn't hear anybody read with me. Okay, he wrote to Jews of the diaspora. The Greek word for scattering, or, you know, is diaspora. You know, so you've heard that term if you've ever read any Jewish, books about Jews. We call them Jews of the diaspora, or Jews of the scattering. And if we go back to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we find out why they were scattered. They failed to keep the law. They couldn't keep the law. See? So what's the prima facie evidence? You know, that's a legal term. What are the first facts with Jews that are scattered abroad? That they failed before the law. Right? So, until internal evidence tells us otherwise, Jews that have failed before the law are cursed by the law, they're unsaved. Yeah. But all of the Bible scholars say it was written to Christians. And unless we find later on in the book evidence to change our mind, the first facts of the very first verse is this was written to unsaved Jews. And if you understand that it was written to unsaved Jews, then you'll understand the book of James. And all of the arguments of your Pentecostal friends or Church of Christ friends or Roman Catholic friends or anybody else that involves works in salvation, you know, and they like to run to the book of James to prove that you got to keep the law in order to be saved. their argument falls flat on its face. And then remember, we went back to the book of Galatians, we went back to the book of Romans, we went through the lots of scripture to show the immutability of God, that He doesn't change, that He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, that therefore by the deeds of the law, how much flesh will be saved? No flesh. So why are we trying to put Christians, and that's the common interpretation, under law? The Jews couldn't keep it, you know. And the New Testament testifies that we can't keep it. Over in the book of Galatians, after Paul had preached at Galatia, the Judaizers, which were a sect out of the church at Jerusalem, they weren't even saved men. They followed Paul everywhere that he preached, and they told the both Jews and Gentiles that were saved under the ministry of Paul, oh no, you can't be saved by faith alone. You have to be circumcised, and you have to keep the law of Moses. What's different about that, which is refuted in the book of Galatians, it's refuted in the book of Romans, it's refuted throughout the entire New Testament, you know, Old Testament as well. No one is justified by law. The only way we can stand before God justified is by faith. And even the faith that we have to believe God wasn't generated by us. It was a gift that God gave us. See? So you can see why our way to deal with those fundamentals, and we'll try to go a little faster as we continue on, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Well, how patient can you be when you think you're going to be justified by law, and every time you look at the law, it condemns you? You know, there's no hope there, see. Then he goes on to say, but let patience, and the word patience really means endurance, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, completing Christ, and entire, wanting nothing. The only way that any of us can be complete and entire, wanting nothing, is by faith in Jesus Christ. We can't get there by law. So he goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, and we went back to the third chapter of Proverbs, and we saw in the third chapter of Proverbs that in the Old Testament, the word wisdom was used of salvation. You know, let me read a little bit of it just to remind you. Psalm or Proverbs chapter 3. Here we go. Now, it says in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, if Proverbs was written by Solomon, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. In Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So, Solomon certainly understood that you couldn't be justified before God by the life that you live. But he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom or salvation, and the man that getteth understanding. When we get salvation in this age, we also get the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Spirit of God is the one who enables us to understand the Word of God. Otherwise, it's a closed book. See? For the merchandise of salvation, and that's what the it stands for, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. New Testament says, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So those two verses come together. She, salvation, is more precious than rubies. If you had the richest rubies in the world, you know, the largest rubies in the world, perfect stones, no flaws, you know, worth a great deal of money, you still couldn't buy salvation, see? So she's more precious than rubies. That is, salvation is more precious than rubies. What good does it do to be a billionaire? And I think about all of these candidates that want to become presidents so they can get rich, you know, with the Democratic Convention. And politicians typically, they want to get rich, and they do. You know, if you ever saw the movie The Distinguished Gentleman, you get money if you vote for it, you get money if you vote against it. You know. And isn't it amazing how Bernie Sanders, who wants to be he is a communist, he wants to be president of the United States, you know. But what's Bernie going to do with his millions if he becomes president? Is he going to share it with everybody else? I don't think so. Yeah. You see, some things just don't wash. So what do you get from salvation? Length of days or eternal life is in her right hand. And in her left hand, riches and honor. You and I are called the children of God. We are heirs and joint heirs or co-heirs. Everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, because He, first of all, He created everything, and secondly, He kept the law. The only Jew who ever did fulfilled it completely and perfectly. So all of the promises of blessings that were in the law all belong to Jesus Christ. And because they belong to Jesus Christ and we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, they belong to us. But not because of the life that we live, but that we recognize that we were sinners and Christ died for us. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. You know, I recently had carotid artery surgery, both sides, you know, a few months in between. My right side is still pretty numb and sore. Left side is still a little bit tender. But either one of those surgeries, as I pointed out in the bulletin, I was a heartbeat away from being in the presence of the Lord. I'm not still here because of me. I'm still here because God isn't through using me preaching the truth of the Word of God. If He were, you know, all it took on that one loose side, it flipped up and blocked, massive stroke, you know, and I'd be in the presence of the Lord. The other side had a pinhole. That's why when I was preaching in those days before the surgery, I got a little foggy. I didn't have my mind working as clearly. You know, the brain needs blood, you know. And there wasn't a lot of blood getting past those two occlusions, you know. I don't say that because of me. I say that because God in His infinite mercy and grace says, "Not now, Dale. I'll get you later. You know. But for now, I've still got a job for you to do." Okay? And that's the only reason I'm alive. Yeah. Lots of people much younger than I are dead. You know. You know, my father died at 44. My mother lived to be almost 97. You know. But, you know, what's the difference? Well, death is an appointment known only to God. And so, while we have breath, while we have life, you know, and because of the teaching in this country, and now we're trying to make reparation for all of the slaves, and there isn't a single person in this country who personally was ever enslaved. know, unless they just came here from a foreign country. Yeah. But there's the black people that were born here were never enslaved. If you go back, you know, Lincoln, I think, was elected to presidency, to the presidency in 1885. And after that, we had the Civil War. So there was slavery prior to that. But there's always been slavery. And right now, whether you realize it, you're a slave and I'm a slave. You know, you may think you're free, but you're not. Christ paid for you. He bought you off the slave market. Now, in Greek times, you know, not a very pretty picture, unless you happen to be a beautiful woman with a beautiful figure. But most men, you know, don't look all that good with their clothes on. But you stood on the block naked so that whoever was going to buy you could see what he was going to buy, you know. And he purchased you, and you were his property. And, you know, most slave owners treated their slaves well. Are you going to abuse something that you spent money for? You know, so that it can't work? You know, you know. And, of course, there were abuses, you know, under slavery in this country. But a lot of the slaves fought with the South while, you know, there were others that because of the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln was losing the war. So he came up with the Emancipation Proclamation. If you fight for the North and the North wins, you'll be free. Okay. And so there was a little political action on both sides. It wasn't necessarily that everybody cared for everybody so much. Yeah. But if you're losing the war, you need some more men to fight. Maybe we can get these slaves to fight for us rather than for the South. Yeah. But few people know anything about history today. And I've got to quit. That beeped in a little while ago. I'm going to go through the book of James in the next few weeks, and we'll eventually finish the book, but I'm going to do some review and touch upon things we've already taught since we went back and touched upon things that are fundamental that we need to properly interpret the book. But when it comes to slavery, you know, every person in this world is related to someone who at some point in time was enslaved either to, Germany, First World War, Second World War, enslaved to Rome, enslaved to Greece, enslaved to Babylon, enslaved to Assyria, enslaved to Egypt. Various other nations of the world had slaves. And what in the scriptures, Paul, or the New Testament never says if you have a slave, set him free. New Testament says if you're a slave, be a good one. Now, serve your master well. Okay, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. You're a slave to Jesus Christ. He owns us. He paid for us with his blood. And we don't really realize the extent of what he did. But you belong to him. I belong to him. So it shouldn't be any problem serving him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace and for the fact that you paid for us and one day with the first resurrection, we will be like you in heaven. Right now, we're judicially declared to be like you, but then we will actually know what it means to be like you. We praise you and thank you In Jesus' name, amen.